I told you. I told you. The first slide says three myths about the UC. And I'm Patrick Jackson, and I'm the Director of General Education. And for reasons that I will discuss a little bit later, there's a reason why I'm sort of associated with and being in charge of the University College program. But the way I want to go about talking about this is dispelling a couple of misconceptions about what this program is or isn't. So myth number one, which is an understandable myth given the title of the program, is that it's a college. You have here a traditional kind of, you can imagine the Ivy lining, right? Sort of a traditional sort of college. Why do I say University College isn't a college? Well, if you go to the student's favorite source for definitions, Wikipedia, you discover that in standard American English usage, the word college means undergraduate university studies or a school that provides professional and technical training, et cetera, et cetera. That would be the whole university. And we're not the whole university. University College only has something like a fifth of the entering first year class. So we are not the entire university, and we do not extend for all 4 years. We do not grant degrees. It'd be kind of fun to have a degree from University College, but we don't do that. That's not sort of what we do. So we're not a college in that sense. We're also not a college in sort of the ancestral British sense from which, as with most terms in a lot of standard American English, we have this sort of a British derivation for a lot of these things, particularly when it comes to things like higher education. Within a British university, like if you were at Oxford University, you would be part of a college in Oxford, and the college would actually have all your classes, and that's where all your faculty would be, and you sort of live there and stuff. But your degree wouldn't be from like Balliol College. Your degree would be from Oxford University. And we do have that sort of set up here, except the colleges that we have are things like the School of Arts and School of International Service and the College of Arts and Sciences and the School of Public Affairs and COGOD and School of Communication, right? So that's college in that sense. They're the ones that actually handle the preparation for the degree. That's not what University College does. So University College is a little bit different than that. In fact, what we call University College around here is what other programs, other universities would sometimes refer to as first year residential freshman seminar experiences. We thought University College was a little bit more of a compact term, so that's what we end up calling it. The reason why I, as Director of General Education, have a sort of involvement with this is because all of the University College courses are a subset of the General Education program, which means, among other things, that all University College classes are foundation-level General Education classes. So in addition to everything else that they do for you and all the other benefits that we'll talk about here, every University College course also helps you fulfill some portion of your General Education requirements. That's regardless of whether or not they also fulfill major requirements, but they do all fulfill general education requirements. And whatever your major is, you have to fulfill your general education requirements. So there's automatically a kind of benefit to you right there, fulfilling it in this kind of University College format. What do I mean by University College format? Well, there are several things that make the University College a distinctive way to go about taking some of these introductory foundation level courses. In fact, there's three major things that make University College different. University College is residential. University College is experiential, is a focus on outside the classroom experience and bringing that into the classroom. And there is a pronounced focus on peer mentoring. I want to talk briefly about those three points just to sort of illustrate how UC is different. Residential. Well, obviously, by residential, this is one of the more distinctive features of the program. You live on a residence hall floor with the other students in your University College seminar. So all of you who are taking the University College section of theater, principles, plays, and performances, or understanding music, or sustainable earth, which is the environmental science class, you would be living with your classmates on a residence hall floor. You're not the whole floor. You're a neighborhood within the floor. Right? There are also non-University College people on your floor as well. You know, we don't discourage mingling. But you live with your classmates, which is a very interesting kind of environment. The reason we like this is because it helps to break down this barrier between where you live and where you learn. You know, sometimes we even teach classes in the residence halls. And even if we don't teach the classes in the residence hall, there are a lot of other activities that take advantage of the fact that you're all living together. Group projects that can be done when the group sort of takes over the study lounge, that's their study lounge anyway. That's very nice. I can assign, if I'm doing, say, world politics, I can assign small group simulations, and it's very easy for everybody to find each other because they go next door. So everybody's right there, which is quite nice. So we definitely bring the learning experience into where you live, further differentiating your residence hall from a summer camp, right? So you're actually learning things where you're living. Why do we do this? Well, we do this because it helps to produce a community of learning, a situation in which the learning doesn't stop simply when class ends. And that, we think, is actually very important. Because what can happen in a university college class is an interesting discussion can start, you can be wrestling with some issue, and then 3.5 hours later, you're sitting on the floor and the discussion comes up again. One of the best kind of emblematic university college comments I ever got from a couple students of mine, one of them said to me at one point, well, you know, I was brushing my teeth this morning and I was arguing with Bob about Machiavelli. I'm like, wow, Machiavelli made it into the bathroom. That's awesome. You know, it's the idea that like you're because you don't turn your brain off when you're not in class. And a lot of the processing of information happens afterwards. And suddenly you realize, oh, you know, that was a point I wanted to make. And it's great. You can. The person you were going to make the point to is right there because they live with you, which is very nice. This facilitates this kind of out-of-class learning, this expansion of your learning horizon, so you don't simply put learning into a little box that happens during the course of the day. So that's one of the major distinctive things about the university college. The second distinctive thing, though, about the university college, out of the classroom doesn't just mean into the residence halls. Out of the classroom also means out into the world, and particularly out into Washington, D.C., because we've got all these wonderful resources downtown. University college allows you to take advantage of them in a much more systematic and shall we say, rigorous way. This starts actually before your classes begin. If you are in the university college program, then you will you'll be taking either the freshman service experience or the Discover DC program during Welcome Week. Those programs also exist for people who are not doing university college, but with university college, they're integrated with your course material. Your professor and your program associate, who we'll talk about in a second, have selected the things you're going to do during those experiences in such a way that it sets up future discussions and things that are going to happen in class. The economics course, for instance, does freshman service experience so that when we start talking about things like economic downturn and financial hardship, these aren't just numbers on a page, that you've actually been out there seeing what this looks like concretely by being of service to some of the more disadvantaged members of the population in Washington, D.C. With my world politics class, what we had traditionally done since we wanted to talk about globalization and I wanted a good concrete example of globalization, the collision between global and local notions. Well, it turns out that there's a baseball stadium downtown, newly built. Major League Baseball came in and negotiated with the city and got the city to cough up $600 million to build a stadium for a private company, which is kind of odd. Now, of course, this is no different than the sort of things that happen when major corporations around the world will move factories into countries and cut tax deals with them. So I said, oh, look, here's globalization. Let's take a look at the macro and micro level effects that are happening here. What is the displacement on the neighborhood? What do the politicians say about it? What do the community activists say? Let's talk to the team, see how the team deals with this. Nice thing about being in university college, we got to do all that stuff. We had an audience with the mayor. We got to go down and ask the mayor, hey, when you were a councilman, you didn't like baseball in D.C. You voted against it. Now you're the mayor. Now you're this big booster of it. What happened? And we got to actually ask him that and see what kind of answer he would give us. No one was satisfied with his answer. but the point is, you get that kind of integration right away, right, where your course material sort of comes alive with these in-the-city experiences. And it doesn't just stop after the first week. Every Wednesday, there are these Wednesday lab times. I know Jamie was talking about those when I walked in. We set aside this time slot on Wednesdays from 10 to 2 for faculty members to arrange various things that their students can do downtown. You know, if you want to be talking about the global financial system, it's very nice to talk about the global financial system in the abstract. It's even nicer to go downtown and let people from the IMF talk to you about the global financial system and go down and actually get a briefing from them. It might be a little difficult this week, some protests going on, but at other times we can usually schedule that. If you're doing environmental science, we have a heavily, heavily polluted river downtown, the Anacostia River. Some of these Wednesday afternoons can be utilized to go down and take live field samples, see what's going on in these places. They're running experimental garden, actually. They're doing the Sustainable Earth class is going to do an experimental garden over by Katzen, in which they're going to be putting various kinds of pollutants in different parts of the garden and seeing what the effects actually are, measuring them and testing it out. You need time to do that. Those kinds of Wednesdays are where we produce the time to be able to do those things, those sorts of co-curricular activities. And sometimes speakers come in and so on and so forth. So it's an extra time during the week that allows us to supplement classroom instruction. There is also the transdisciplinary UC Common Event, which is the sort of thing that we do every year. We have a big signature event that involves some issue of general intellectual importance that cuts across the different UC seminars. In the past, we've done climate change. Last year, we did religion in the public square. The whole group went down to a performance of Othello at one point and had a discussion about the play and its relevance. So the transdisciplinary UC Common Event's big highlight of the fall semester. That's also something that comes with this. We often will use the Wednesday time as a way of setting up those big events. And all of these things together is partially why when you take University College, in addition to your regular course credit, you have one additional credit for the fall, which is a credit for those Wednesday lab times. So you do get something for just on your transcript for having done this, which is that extra University College lab that you have during the fall. And then during the spring, there's sort of, because the program only goes for one semester with as an academic program, there is also a shorter lab in the spring that meets on a weekly or biweekly basis to do some other kind of continuation activities, and that also shows up on your transcript. But the intense part of University College is really during the fall, where we have that one additional credit for those Wednesday labs. You also get one other nice benefit of these things. The additional credit allows us to hire and train a bunch of peer mentors. We call them program associates. Program associates are advanced undergraduate students. In many cases, they are people who have taken your University College class before, or they are people who've worked with your professor who is now teaching in University College before. So they know very well the ins and outs of how this person teaches. Their job, they're upper class persons, they've already gone through some of the basic freshman transition issues, they've figured some things out, and then we train them to help other people figure these things out. They live with you. They live on the floor with the students in their designated UC class. So there's an additional sort of person there, which is also very nice because when students actually have issues, when they suddenly think of things and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, many of us on the faculty are not actually awake and IMing with students at 2 o'clock in the morning. Some of us are, but most of us are not. And it's nice to have somebody actually there at that time to be able to be sort of dealing with these various sorts of things. So the PAs have formal office hours, but then they're also just informally around a lot, which is a very nice feature to have. And they are kind of a bridge between the professor and the living arrangement. They work closely with the professor. They have certain kinds of functions that are quasi-teaching assistant functions. They do classroom assistance. Most of us in University College also kind of co-design our syllabi with our program associates. So the program associate is intimately involved with how the class is put together, reading assignments, knows what the flow of the semester is going to be like, and therefore can plan activities so that if we know this is going to be a particularly heavy week in class, maybe we want to do something kind of fun on Wednesday that is not really too demanding. Or here we know the reading level is going to be kind of light this week. Okay, this is the week we're going to do something sort of demanding. So balancing those things off is another thing the PA can definitely do. And as I said, the PA is able to mentor students sort of informally through just kind of living there on the floor, also more formally through a set of check-in meetings and things like this. And we train them and we employ them. We pay them. So they're not just volunteers. And as I said, a lot of them are actually UC alums, so a lot of them have come through this particular experience before, so they know what this is like and how to take best advantage of it. And in particular, the PAs are specially shown and specially encouraged to be able to facilitate a bunch of different collaborative learning strategies. So the PA will be very good at facilitating discussions, formally or informally. The PA is very good at connecting people up with resources and letting people, like giving people the right support to go out and explore different things that they're interested in, right? And that person's right there, and they're an asset, and you get them with the University College package. So those are the main things that are different about the University College. But that's only one of the three myths. Let's briefly touch on the other two myths. Myth number two about University College is this idea that the University College is an insular environment, that if you're in the University College, you're never going to meet anybody else who's in the university, not in the University College. You're going to be kind of cloistered away somewhere, stuck in a dungeon. You're only going to meet the same people over the course of your year. And you're never going to get involved with anything else on campus or in the university. You're just going to be hanging out as this little tight-knit group, right? And that's all. That's a myth. You do live with other people in your seminar. This is true. This is a feature of the program. It's not a bug. It's a feature. But you are taking four or five other classes. So you have ample opportunity to meet other people and interact with them in an academic environment because you're taking other classes and other people will be in them. As I said before, not everybody in your floor is in the university college. This is deliberate. It's a design decision on our part. We didn't want to have floors, whole floors, given over to the university college precisely because we didn't want to promote that kind of insularity. So you are in a neighborhood where you've got people in your seminar, but then you've got a whole bunch of other people on the floor as well. And even if your floor, by some weird happenstance, which doesn't actually happen, but if it ever did, that most of your floor was university college, not everybody in your hall is in the university college. So you've got whole floors in which they don't have university college floors. And you do have to see these people. There are elevators and, you know, the front desk. And so you interact with people in these environments. And often if you're in a university college floor and you somehow feel like you have to get non-UC people, you can always walk up and down the stairs. It's not that hard. Go out to the middle of the quad. As I said, lots of people in the university are not doing university college. And by popular demand, we don't make you wear the ankle monitors anymore. So, and the tattooing program on the forehead, we stopped that after the first university college class. A lot of complaints about that one. A couple of them are graduating this year, so if you see the video, you'll see the walk of the big UC tattooed across their head. We don't do that anymore. There's no more distinguishing features. Myth number three, actually, you know what? I'm just going to briefly say one other thing about insularity before I talk about myth number three, because the other part of insularity is this idea that if you're doing university college, then that's all you'll do. And this is not true. I had just one anecdote of a student who was in a university college class with me a couple of years ago, and she was really interested. She got really interested in some of the programming activities that were going on in her residence hall. So she became the floor rep to the residence hall council. And then she started working with the residence hall council a little bit. And then the next year, as a sophomore, she became the programming chair for the entire campus-wide residence hall association. That doesn't sound like insularity to me. Right? That sounds like somebody who was confident enough to say, you know, I can go out and do these things. Part of the reason we think university college students are more confident to be able to do this stuff is because of the benefit of the university college itself providing a nice stable basis from which people can work. They did a call for student representatives on the student government to different university committees a few years ago. Actually, I think this was only about a year ago. They needed nine slots. I think eight of the people who applied for those nine slots were university college folks. So it's not the case that university college cuts you off. It actually enables you to get involved in other ways. But myth number three. University college is somehow only for diehards, people who are really interested in their subject to the point of complete exclusion from everything else. In other words, geeks about their particular subject. This is actually not true. Yes, university college seminars are these small interactive experiences, but they're not like hyper AP classes, right? These are not AP classes on steroids. It is not the case that if you're taking the university college, say, politics in the United States class, that you're going to have just a whole bunch of politics junkies. Or the university college music class is going to be entirely made up of band people. I mean, that's not true. And I know that's not true because I put everybody in different seminars, and I don't build seminars that way. I do not build seminars that are exclusively majors or people who are already hyper-specialized within their particular approach. The population in any given seminar is quite diverse in terms of the pathways that they've taken to arrive at the interest that they have in their particular subject. Because the common factor is simply having interest in the particular subject, not necessarily being a specialist in it. Understanding music is a great example of this. When I look at the understanding music class and putting people in the classes, you want some people in understanding music who are music majors, some people who are intending to be musicians, and then other people who say things in their essay like, I actually don't know all that much about music, but I have 45 gigabytes on my iPod, and I listen to all sorts of stuff, and I'm really interested. Cool. Now, how much of a great learning environment can be produced by putting that person together with the guy who's been playing clarinet since he was five and saying, all right, now you're in a class together. Let's see what you can learn from each other in terms of your different experience of the thing you're both interested in. We know you're both interested in music because you selected it in a little drop-down menu. But you have different levels and of experience and different ways of apprehending the topic. And speaking as a faculty member, that's the most interesting kind of class to teach. Interest doesn't mean expertise. And I like to have, we all like to have classes in which people have a distributed level of expertise. Distributed level of experience, but a common level of interest. And that's what university college can produce. So university college seminars are a great opportunity for you to take something you're interested in and really explore it in more detail. It may be something you're thinking of majoring in. It may be something you're pretty sure you're not going to major in, but you don't want to let your interest go while you're majoring in something else. I get that question all the time. People come up and say, I'm in SIS. Should I only take the world politics seminar in University College? And I say, well, if you're in SIS, you can take a lot of world politics because it's SIS. That's what you do in SIS. You take a lot of world politics. But maybe in addition to being someone who's interested in global public affairs, you know, maybe you're also interested in the cinema. So maybe you want to sign up to take the Critical Approaches to the Cinema University College seminar. You're going to be doing the world politics stuff over here. Or you might say, I need to take economics. I don't really like economics. I don't think I'm going to do particularly well at it. Well, let me tell you, what better environment to take an economics class in than a small 20-person class with a top-notch faculty member and an additional program associate who has taken an economics class before? What a great way to go through a class that you might think would be a challenge for you. Think about the kind of support you get. Think about the instant study group the night before the exam when everybody's sitting in the lounge going, how exactly do you calculate a supply curve again? There you go, right? It's a much more supportive environment for doing something like that. And I mentioned economics in particular because lots of different majors on this campus require economics as a course, not just an econ major. So it's the sort of thing you might want to think about. As I said, UC is an opportunity to explore some kind of topic with a bunch of other people who are interested. And because we specifically recruit the faculty here, with faculty who are really, really enthusiastic about teaching first-year students who may have more, and generally do have, much more enthusiasm than they do knowledge. And that's great, because knowledge, we can give you knowledge. Enthusiasm, that we can't give you. That you have to bring. University College allows us to make sure that you've got classes of people who are enthusiastic about the material. So it's a very dynamic, interactive, exploratory kind of teaching environment. So to summarize, the basic benefits of University College. It makes the university a little bit smaller. Now granted, what do we have, 6,000 undergraduates here? So it's not all that big, though it's 6,000 people is bigger than the total population of the town where I was when I was in middle school. So I, you know, could be. I'm pretty sure 6,000 people is larger than all of your high schools. There's only a couple high schools in the country that are bigger than 6,000, so I'm usually pretty safe ground saying that. But it's a bigger place than you've probably been before. And it can feel fairly overwhelming because there's just so much going on here. I mean, if you're walking around campus, if you look to see the flyers that are posted in the stairwells and such about all the different kinds of activities, and this is the last week of classes. Imagine what this was like a month and a half ago before everybody was thinking about finals, you know? The massive amounts of stuff. University College allows you to cut that down a little bit, makes it a little bit smaller, at least to begin with. It eases a transition to college. For most of you, for most of you students, it's probably the first time you've been living alone outside of the home. It's probably the first time you've had to figure out things like, exactly how am I going to manage my budget to do this, and, you know, is it a good idea to pull two all-nighters in a row? Well, I never really had that option before because somebody would usually come in and shut the light off, but now, you know, I could conceivably pull two all-nighters in a row. Now, you quickly discover that this generally is not a good idea, but you have to find that out. And what better way to find that out with a whole bunch of other people sitting around who can say to you, you know, actually, I did that last week. Maybe we should just do one all-nighter. Or people who have the best coffee recipes for keeping you up all night. That's a very interesting, useful piece of information, trust me. Basically, the University College environment eases that transition, getting used to a whole variety of different things. The freedom you have to navigate your way through your course schedule, which is probably much higher than the freedom that you had to navigate your way through your high school course schedule. Right? It can be a little bit overwhelming, but you have other people to go, you know, actually, I talked to somebody about this, and this is not, you want to take this section of that rather than that. So lots of information sharing. It's very useful. It kind of creates an instant peer group. You know the people in your University College seminar. I mean, you're with them a week before classes. What first thing we do once we actually set up the University College seminars is we have the PAs go out and build Facebook groups so people can start chatting with each other over the summer so you can already start to get to know people, which is a nice benefit. You show up on campus, and it's not, oh, it's me and 5,999 of my, well, not really closest friends or just sort of strangers. But you say, well, actually, it's not quite because you have a group of people that you at least already know. Not that these people are all going to become your best friends. That's not what University College is about. It's people have often, some of the students will often sort of compare it to a family. It's people that you're comfortable with, even if by the end of the semester you realize that, you know, that person is just way on the other side of the political spectrum than you and you're just not going to agree with this person. But at least you know and you're comfortable with them. I've had students come to me later and say, You know, I'm a junior now, and I'm having to write papers, and every time I need to get a really, really liberal environmentalist take on something, I can go talk to Johnny from freshman year, who I don't talk to much because really we're in totally different circles, but I had a university college class with him, and I know he's like, you know, a left-wing beatnik, and so I can go talk to him and get his read, and then that helps me be a little bit better about articulating stuff. People have said that to me on the other side of the political spectrum, too. The idea being that you get to know people and where they stand, and you get comfortable with that level of diversity, which is very nice. It's a nice benefit to have. So university college is sort of a stable home from which to go out and discover things at the university, discover things in your particular major, in your department, discover things in the city, right? And basically, university college just equips you and helps you out with some of this stuff. Before I tell you how to sign up, I think I'm going to ask the assembled folks that we have here to say a little bit. We've got three real live students who can talk a little bit about their university college experience, and then I'll tell you how you sign up for it. Good. Introduce yourself, talk about your seminar, and then give them some words of wisdom. Probably want to use the mic because the yeah.
I'll go first. I'm Rachel. I'm from Chicagoland area. I was in the theater UC this past year, so I'm almost done with my freshman year. And
why was UC a good thing, and why should they do it?
Basically, like, it's gonna sound really cliche, but UC was one of the best things I could have done. I'm not necessarily a shy person, but I do much better in small groups of people, and that's why I chose this university, because it was a smaller, it's only 6,000 students, which to me is still huge, but in reality it's a small community. And then doing the UC just made it so that there were 14 people that I lived with that really automatically there was like a group of friends that I could hang out with, especially in the beginning of the year when I was still like, well, I'm new here. So that was the most important aspect to me, was that there was an automatic group of people that I knew and could hang out with outside of classes.
Cool.
Okay. Hi, I'm Caroline. I'm also in the theater UC, and Rachel and I are actually roommates. The reason I really enjoyed my UC experience was because, like, it just, when you come to college, like, it's new and it's scary and you don't really know that many people. And so it just kind of makes it a little bit smaller and, like, a little bit more accessible. Some wisdom. Oh, I mean, like, just the program itself is great. Like, your PA is a really great resource for you. Our PA, they're a great academic resource for you. They can help you with your classwork. They can help you with anything you need, really. And like RPA worked at a box office in a local DC theater, and like could get us free tickets and stuff like that. So like, it's great. you have like an upperclassman who's like been through what you're going through, and so they can kind of be a gap between you and the professor. What else?
Good.
Get all my wisdom.
It's the end of the year. We don't really need to know anything.
Eventually, I'll open up and they can ask you questions,
okay,
and maybe prompt you there.
Easier.
But let give Sandy her 30 seconds here.
Hi, I'm Sandy. I was in the World Politics UC fall of 07, so it was like last year's. And I mean, in addition to it being like a really great experience and making the transition to college really easy, the most useful thing that came out of it for me was figuring out where my interests lie. So, you know, at first I was in SIS doing the international relations thing, and I was like, yeah, I'll take world politics and see how I like it. And turns out I'm a business major now. So, I mean, I'm happy. Accounting's really cool. So, But I mean, that was like the biggest thing that benefited me, was just helping like figure out in a comfortable environment like what I was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I recommend it. Mm-hmm.
And full disclosure, Sandy was in my class. And again, I don't. I consider it a benefit if somebody comes out of my class and says, you know, actually, world politics is not really what I wanted to do. That's great. You tried it. You had a chance to really explore it. Something you thought you were interested in. I know, not Sandy, but I know another person who's had that sort of experience went through and said, I used to think I was a politics geek, and then I was in this class and I met real politics geeks. I think I'd like to be a music major now. And I was like, okay, cool, you know, it was great. Seriously, it's a student who was trying to decide because she had taken voice lessons for all of her life as well. And she was like, I want to sing. My passion is singing, not necessarily politics. It's like, all right, great, go for it. So she's a voice major now. That's the kind of experience that we think is sort of uniquely generated by something like University College, where you feel like you have the flexibility enough to be able to figure that out among a group of people in that small environment. So, how do you do it? How do you sign up? Well, the way we've done this, and you've probably seen, you've probably seen this brochure. If you haven't, we have plenty of them. Thank you, Natalie. So we have this brochure, and we also have a website. And of course, we have a website, right? It's 21st century. The basic way in which we sign up, what we do is we have a form online, which is a reservation form. And in order to get to the reservation form, you'd first go to our website, which is american.edu/universitycollege. It doesn't look very pretty, but it's easy to remember. There's no spaces or underscores or any of that stuff in it. And if you go there, we have a little more information about the 13 UC seminars that we're offering this year, and including a little bit about the faculty members, sometimes the draft syllabus, lots of other information about the way that the seminars are set up. So you go visit the website, and you click through the website, and you eventually get to the thing that says reserve your place, and you go and click over to the online reservation form. And the online reservation form says, okay, so here are the three drop-down menus that have the names of the different seminars in them, so you select what you'd like to be in, and then there's a little 500-word text block essay in which you can tell me a little bit about why it is you think you would be a good fit for these particular seminars, and then you can explain why, what you think you would gain from the experience, what you would bring to the experience. And then what will happen is, at that point you should probably cross your fingers, pray, sacrifice a goat, actually what you then do is you let us try to find room for you. This is a first come, first serve program. We take the list of when people reserved and we go down the list. The main concern that I have when going down the list is making sure that people get into and are fitted into the seminars that they are the best fit for. So I will look at someone, I will look at their essay, I will look at what they've requested and said, okay, where should this person go? And put them, as much as possible, into their top choice. Top choices fill, which is why we ask you for second and third choices. The easiest way to make sure that you get a spot in University College is to choose three very different kinds of seminars. Remember, these are all general education courses. These are all things that are going to be useful to you in one way or another, whether or not they're actually useful for your major in particular. These are all things that are going to be beneficial. In fact, there's a little box on the form which says, if none of my choices are available, I would agree to be considered for any open slot. And if you check that, then I go back and go, oh, okay, look, well, see if I can put this person someplace else, depending on what kind of enrollment patterns we've got in any given year. We try to find room for everybody who would like to be in the program, but again, things fill up. And we do not want to make University College classes. I will not allow a University College class to go forward with any more than 22 students in it. That means that certain of the classes end up without having spaces in them at a certain point. So, you know, you should go and reserve relatively early rather than later so that I can try to get you in where you'd like to be. We will make, and we in the sense of me, populate all the seminars. And that will happen in early May, and you will know before May 15th, you'll be notified by email. You'll also be introduced at that point to your PA and given the address of the Facebook group and all that kind of stuff. Whatever housing you had requested before would be overridden by University College. So if you are accepted into a University College seminar, your housing reservation will be moved to that residence hall, wherever it is, and that's actually specified on the website and also in the brochure. So you don't have to worry about that. Let's see. Yes, and let us try to find room as we go through here. We have even in the past done odd things, like notice that there's huge numbers of people wanting to be in a particular class that's full, and then we've gone back to departments and we've begged and pleaded for another section and created another section of a course. So sometimes we're able to do that. But again, if there's something you're really interested in, make sure you get the reservation in early and make sure that you sign up for that, and then give me a good compelling reason in the essay why, you know, you should be in there. This, as I said, is our website. the numbers underneath, apparently there's some old protocol where if you pick up some object and press numbers on it, you can apparently speak to some. I don't know anything about this. But my associates know things about this, and so if you call there, you'll probably get one of them. With me, you email, and then you'll get a response. But that's us. That's our office. As I said, I'm Patrick Jackson, and I'm the director, but I like to think of myself as the headmaster of University College. Yes, there's a sorting hat in my office. Take it out. There really is a sorting hat in my office. And if worse comes to worse with the University College reservation, I will ask the sorting hat. Sorting hat is never wrong. Jamie Wyatt over here is my assistant director of general education, which sort of, I guess, makes her the assistant headmaster or something, and is also in the office. And the other person down there is Natalie Marichal, who is our program assistant, the other full-time person in the general education / University College office. And if you call on the phone, as I said, you'll probably be more likely to get one of the two of them. That's us. That's where we are. And with that, I want to toss it open for a few questions since we have a few minutes left. Yes, in the back.
In August, when is the program prior to arrival? Do you have that set up, the dates for that?
Yes. The Discover DC and Freshman Service Experience programs, which start a week before classes, I believe the date is August the 24th is the date, the Monday that they start. Is that the Monday classes start?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then in that case, then the FSE and Discover DC programs would start on the previous Monday, the 17th. So right when move-in begins. Yes. Now there's no, you don't have to move in early. You move in when the residence hall's open, which is that week before classes. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Do we have to sign up for Discover DC or the Freshman Service Experience after we find out if we're accepted to
UC? Good question about Discover DC and Freshman Service Experience. If when you are accepted into UC, if you haven't already signed up, then we will give you information about that. If you have accidentally signed up for one that is different than what your seminar's chosen, we'll move you. And if you've already signed up and then you are not in University College, then they're great programs on their own too. So, what is considered early for getting your deposit in? Just distinguish between two things, deposit and University College reservation, which are actually logically independent of each other. The University College reservation site is open regardless of whether you've actually paid your deposit yet. Deposit deadline is May 1st. For legal reasons, I can't start populating seminars until after the deposit deadline. So I can't actually say which seminars are full yet until after May 1st, by which point, of course, that's the deposit deadline. But I do know that the total capacity that we have for University College this year is somewhere around 260, 270. And as of this morning, there were at least 80 slots still left. So I know that just on straight numbers, we have not yet maxed out University College. So there's still space. But again, I can't speak to specific seminars yet because I'm legally not allowed to do that until after the deposit deadline. Well, there you go. Make sure you go fill out your reservation. Are you allowed to change something on it? If you rethink it, the way to do it is to, rather than filling out another reservation form, email us at University College in American, and then we'll put that in the database. So, yeah, second thoughts, third thoughts, that's fine. Yes?
I'm planning on double majoring. How hard would you say it is to work in the UC, like the lab, and take the course load required for a double major in addition to that?
When do you want to speak to that, or?
It's really not all that hard. Like, granted, I was in the theater UC, right? So a lot of our labs where we were going out to theaters, we were meeting with people who, like, directors and artistic directors and what actually goes on in a theater. But they block out 10 to 2 every Wednesday. That does not mean that you're spending 4 hours every Wednesday doing whatever lab you're doing. One of our labs, which we had a couple labs where our Meredith, our PA, was just like, okay, we have to read this play this week. It's a really hard play. Let's just read it together. I'll make pancakes. And so, like, it's not hard at all.
Yeah, and you don't really need to worry about getting your double major requirements in right away, like right when you get here. Like, you'll be taking a lot of gen eds, a lot of entry-level courses, so you don't really need to worry about the double major thing until, like, don't even worry about it that much during your freshman year. Like, you play. Mm-hmm.
And also, second semester, you basically, the Wednesday labs aren't really existent. Like, every 2 to 3 weeks, your PA will
right.
be like, okay,
right.
meet me here
it's
this
like a
time.
Convene. It's
we'll
not
yeah.
go. It's
yeah, this, we deliberately back off in the spring semester. So there's still a weekly lab time, but that's mostly for scheduling convenience. Nobody uses every week, especially during the spring. But what we do is we do things like, let's have a structured session where people can go and talk to the folks at the Career Center about internships and jobs and things like this. Let's have a session where you can go and talk to the folks at the library about some of the more obscure research tools that maybe you didn't get into your first semester, but now there's other stuff that like you know you actually need. And so then they can go and show you those things. So it's a lot of those stuff. And pancakes were mentioned. That's another one of the sort of little UC traditions. Everybody does pancake breakfast because it's 10 o'clock in the morning. And 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning when people are just waking up, right, then that's useful to have pancakes. And you know, faculty will come to those, and those are a lot of fun. But no, I guess the other thing about the double majoring question is, even the most intense double major is not going to have you take more than 5 classes your first year. Or your first semester of your first year, and so we've worked that 10-2 time on Wednesday in such a way that every class in the university can schedule around it. Just for people who aren't familiar with our regular schedule, most of the classes, especially for first year students, are Monday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Friday classes. So Wednesday is a day when people aren't usually having an awful lot of regular class meetings anyway. The one exception is language classes, because they have language classes that meet 5 days a week sometimes, but we've worked with the language folks to get them out of the way from that 10-2 slot. So you'll find that, you know, we thought about that. Yes?
More generally, is the 10-2 slot an open slot for other activities, groups and organizations to hold their activities during that slot?
Good question about the 10-2 slot and other organizations. A lot of the student groups do things in the evening. And so we decided not to go for the evening. The 10-2 slot, there is a section of, there's a first year program in SIS, the Leadership Gateway program. One of them meets on Wednesdays, but it's later in the afternoon. And so we tried to make it clear that this is sort of the UC time. There will be sometimes other sorts of activities on campus during then, but a lot of them, sort of invited speakers of one of the things with 10-2 slot, we can take advantage of lunchtime speakers that other people are putting together for some of their students. So, and if we're doing to do something, I mean, they had mentioned before, you don't always use all 4 of the hours. Sometimes you have a 10-2 slot and you say, all right, we're actually going to go to this noontime thing. So it moves around a little bit. We try to reserve more time than we need. Other side. Yes? Any difference in cost between the university college and not? The only difference is a university college course carries an additional credit. But in every case I'm aware of, it fits in the regular block tuition. So there's no it doesn't end up costing any more on the back end.
The housing and
so housing is still exactly the same. We set up the extra credit so that because we have to give the PAs salaries, and we pay them, but we pay them out of the proceeds of that extra credit. So basically, if you think about the extra UC credit, what you're getting is you're getting the program associate, the Wednesday lab activities, and then some of the continuation activities into the spring. So, but yeah, no additional housing cost.
Are you going to end up in a triple? Like, is there a possibility you can get a triple within
the UC? Ah, yes, the triple
yes.
question.
You're in a triple.
Yes, yes, it is possible. How's that been for you?
We love it.
Like, I mean, you get the option to do triple within your first semester, but there were a few triples on our UC section of the floor, and 2 of them are still in triples because everyone got along and didn't want to move. So,
and really, we have a lot of space.
It's not that bad. It's really not that
we're
bad.
Not all that crowded either.
Don't panic if you get tripled. There's enough room, kind of.
Well, and we have actually noticed 2 things. Sort of across the university, housing and dining keeps the tripling rate constant across all the different kinds of populations at the school. So, you know, if you're athletes are no more or less likely to be tripled than anybody else. University college, honors floors, they're no less or more likely than anybody else to be tripled. We do, however, notice across the university that university college floors with triples have a higher rate of people staying in triples. Which we think has something to do with the university college experience, sort of helping people figure out how to get along. So, yes?
Would there ever be a situation where your roommate wouldn't be in your group?
Would there be a situation where your roommate isn't in university college? There's only very, very rare exceptions where we have an odd number. And, usu- And usually we try not to have that happen. And when I say odd, I don't necessarily mean odd like 19, because I can usually, with triples, we can usually figure that out. But occasionally you'll get something like that. Or we've had one occasion where someone was in a university college and then was a walk-on to an athletic team, and the athletic team's practices conflicted with the university college lab, and so that person had to make a choice and ended up choosing not to do university college and stayed in the university college room. We will not move people once they've been assigned someplace. So if some extraordinary circumstance like that happens, something like that could occur, but it would never happen by design. So, yes?
Which would you say is the most popular choice and the most least chosen?
Ah, the most popular, least popular of university college seminars. Least popular is hard to speak to because we change the offerings from year to year, so we have some new ones in this year, and I'm not sure how those are going to do. I will say, and this is probably not a surprise if you think about the demographics of American University and why people come here, the politics classes fill faster. We could probably fill the entire university college with politics classes just because of the student body. But we don't want to do that. And the reason we don't want to do that is because I really am committed to the idea that university college is a classical liberal arts kind of experience where people are doing different sorts of things. And the humanities and the arts and the natural sciences are all part of that classical experience. So we want to make sure that we have those opportunities for exchange and interchange. Seminars will do things collectively or collaboratively. I mean, I'm doing explorations next year rather than world politics, and the explorations group's going to be reading Antigone, and we're going to be reading Antigone with the theater group. So we're going to be working with them to design scenes and sort of act things out, which will be a really interesting kind of experience that if we were all politics classes, I wouldn't be able to do. I think that's probably all I'll say about that. Yes. Oh, wait, did you want to say something about popularity?
And also, don't panic if you don't get into your top first two choices. If you get into your third and you're like, crap, I'm going to hate this, like, don't even go there. One of my neighbors, John, this was like his last choice. He had no interest in theater.
Never done theater
before in his life, and he had a blast with our UC. So
he was in a department show.
He was.
Semester.
he swears he's not a theater kid, but we're slowly converting him.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you're going to have a great experience no matter what class you get into.
And in fairness, that student had put theater down as his third.
Right.
But when I read his essay, it was abundantly clear that this is where he needed to be. And it was like, wow, there you go. This is someone who really, regardless of prejudice, someone who really loves theater, doesn't know much about it, but is really going to be, and turned out to work perfectly well. See, the sorting hat is never wrong. There's another hand over here. Yes?
Is it the same in the book that which university colleges do the Discovery
Do we have that in there, or is that on the website?
No, it'll be when you get your
Some of the faculty are still deliberating exactly what they're going to do at this point. There are a few that are fixed. I know Explorations because I'm doing that one, and I know Explorations is going to do Discover DC. So we will continue our ongoing relationship with the Washington Nationals. Let's see. I'm pretty sure that the economics class will do Freshman Service Experience again, which is what they have done the last couple of years. Some of the others, and we also have some new faculty teaching classes that had been offered before, but it's different faculty this time, so I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do. We have our University College end-of-year faculty meeting next week, in which I hope to get final decisions on all that stuff. And as soon as we have that information, I'll try to stick it up on the website next week. If you have a specific question about a specific seminar, email us. We will get you the answer.
Just real briefly, can you explain what that relationship is between Discovery DC and these programs? Because we haven't read about this.
Oh, the Discover DC and the Freshman Service Experience and how that integrates?
So let's say you get accepted to University College.
Yep.
What's that next level then?
Well, then what would happen is, think of Discover DC and Freshman Service Experience as being your class starting a week before your class starts. You're here in DC, you're not in the classroom. If you're doing the Freshman Service Experience, you have a community service site down in DC where they will place your class for a couple of days, where you'll be doing volunteer work in the community. And for University College, at least, that's specifically chosen by your professor to integrate with your course material. So the kinds of service you would be doing would be the kinds of experiences that you would then be reflecting on throughout the semester. With Discover DC, we take people down to look at different parts of DC that they might not ordinarily have exposure to and say, yes, there is DC beyond DuPont Circle. Really, there is. And the Red Line is not the only metro line in DC. There are these other lines too, and they go to different places. And we try to do that in such a way that it integrates with the sorts of experiences that people will be having. So again, I mentioned the sort of the thing we did with the Washington Nationals, with the stadium and with the politics around the stadium. That made for some really interesting discussions about globalization. Because then when you start talking about big multinational corporations putting pressure on small localities, you go, oh, right, yeah, we saw that. Right, we were there. We saw it. Now, of course, we also got to be downtown when they were constructing the new stadium, and we were there the day they put the scoreboard up, and that was really cool to watch. We have some great pictures from that, but that's a nice ancillary benefit. The real reason for these things is because they actually get into the curricular material and really start grounding your experience there. Plus, the faculty will sometimes go on these. As a faculty member, it is absolutely fantastic to be able to walk into class on the first day and not have to do the whole slightly awkward, who are you exactly? But instead, no, we've been riding on the metro for a couple of days, we've been talking about things, I've already started to get to know people. I can walk in and say, all right, folks, let's get going. And we're set, and we're off and running, right? Class begins right there, which is a wonderful, wonderful kind of experience to have pedagogically. So,
with being involved with the Nationals, does that mean you are endured to have to go down and participate in ball games and activities?
There are university college baseball games. We do buy tickets. We do have a section. We do not charge you for those tickets. So those are available first come, first served. In fact, if you'd been here last week, we had the spring university college game was last Friday. And at this point in the presentation, I reached in my pocket and I pulled out the last three tickets that I had and I put them right here. And I said, I got three more tickets for anybody who'd like to go. And there were a mother, father, and a daughter, baseball fans who were in town at freshman day. They took the tickets, and they came down and watched the terrible game where, once again, the Nationals closer failed to do his job. But regardless, it was a baseball game, and you know, if you're a baseball fan, a bad evening at the ballpark is better than a lot of other things. So, yes, we do have to endure those things, but we bear the burden. So, yes? Selection criteria is first and foremost timing, and then overall balance for where seminars are. So I will try, again, as I said, I will try very hard to get people into what they said they were interested in and what they would actually like to be in, which is why we ask you for three choices. Because otherwise, it really increases the possibility that by the time I get to, you know, name number 40 or 50 on the list, if it's a seminar, it's already full, I don't have anywhere else to put them. So, but I will go down the list sequentially. So, and as I said, there's still a number of slots open, but I don't know about the specific seminar balances at this point. So, we've never not had a university college seminar go. They always go. Some of them are a little smaller. The theater class this year was, I think, what, 15? So, 14 or 15. So, sometimes they'll be a little bit smaller, but they always work. So. Well, the biology, and in this case, the Sustainable Earth seminar for next year, they have to be a little smaller because there's lab constraints. So that section is actually capped at, I think, 16 because of the amount of laboratory equipment that they have. So, you know, those of us who are doing world politics and things like that, we don't need a lot of labs. So. Or rather, we have a lab. It's called Downtown DC. So, all right, we'll hang around up here for a few more minutes if you have other questions. Thanks very much for coming, and hope to see you all in the fall.